Welcome to Words of Grace Audio, where we clarify, amplify, and apply issues raised in the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, other topics are addressed. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life. Today is Tuesday, January 27th. I'm here with Scott Patty, as usual.
As usual.
A Tuesday afternoon.
Cold January.
Yeah, that cold, wet. We got our first snow, what was it, Saturday morning, right?
Yeah.
Right as you guys were getting ready to start the men's gathering on Saturday. Yeah. So, on this cold, not snowy Tuesday afternoon, let's talk about 1 Corinthians, the second half of the chapter. That's what you tackled on Sunday. And you were talking about the power of the cross. Give us just a couple of sentences of summary of what that was about.
So the whole context, the Apostle Paul is drilling down on one of the main problems in the church at Corinth, which was the problem of divisions. And then, so he does that in chapter 1 and also in chapter 3. So the end of chapter 1 and all of chapter 2, you think he's taken off in a new direction, but he really hasn't, because he's talking about the cross of Christ and how that's the central message of the gospel. It's the central message that he proclaimed. It's the power of God that leads to salvation for people. It's the power that God uses to save people. But he calls it foolishness in the eyes of the, of non-believing people. So the point there being that the cross, he talks about the cross in the middle of divisions, because our unity is around the cross of Christ. So that's one of the reasons that that's there. But the thing I brought out mostly on Sunday was the fact that he says Jews seek for a sign and and Gentiles seek wisdom. And so I used that as sort of a, projecting that back a bit onto the broader culture. There is in our world the culture of power and the culture of knowledge, or the love of power, the love of knowledge, the pride of power, the pride of knowledge, that the cross just doesn't measure up to. So if you, I know this is longer than a few sentences.
If you start with there and then bring the cross into it,
it doesn't match up. If you say, show me the power, I need a life of power. I need personal power. I need political power. I need cultural power. I need social power. I need whatever power. And then you look at the cross and you see a Savior who died. You don't say power, you say weakness. And so that's how, that's why it's a stumbling block. And the same with the pride of knowledge. If you say, we need to reason our way there. We're reasonable people. We can figure this out. We can learn more, study more, analyze more, discern more. And then you look at a Savior on a cross and you say, well, that doesn't seem like a very wise plan to me. So there again, it looks foolish. And Paul is saying, well, and so back to the divisions. So it could be that some of the divisions were around power and knowledge. Who do they think has the power? Who do they think has the knowledge? And Paul's saying, well, if you look at it, really, Jesus is the power and the wisdom of God.
Even though
the cross of Christ is the power of God to save people. And then we walk through all the reasons why and what is the power of the cross.
He talked about it. He didn't want to come with eloquence because he didn't want to mask the power of the cross. Just the simplicity of that one central message. So how do we, as a church, I'm talking more about people who actually are part of Christianity. How do we seek power and knowledge and then try to bring in the cross to it? Like, what are some ways that we
in
do that?
In the church.
Within the church. And maybe even we don't even know it.
Know? Well, first of all, that's a great question, because I hope that I communicated on Sunday that my point was not to curse the culture. My point was to say there is a love and a pride of power and knowledge, but that it is still a part of us within the church, because we are not yet complete in Christ. We're still struggling with the same old mindset. And so it's a church issue. So how do we do it? It's, I think it's very subtle, and I try to throw out some specific examples, and every time I do that, I'm kind of afraid people will get, will hone too much in on the specific example and miss the bigger picture and the bigger point. But, you know, think about it, Jeff, if, you know, if we follow Jesus because we think he will make us successful, what do you do when you're not successful? Let's face it, Jeff, there are a lot of genuine believers in Jesus Christ who are really new creatures in Christ,
mm-hmm.
who aren't, in the eyes of everybody, successful.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So if you have a theology of power, human power, and we have to have the power now, and Jesus has to bring us the power now, what do you do when you're not successful?
Mm-hmm.
Christ isn't enough because he didn't bring success.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way. I and others have been very, very reluctant to attach Christianity, the Christian faith, the gospel to a particular political party.
Right.
Let's be honest. Political people look at Christians as a voting block.
Right.
As power.
Right, of course.
So
and in some ways, I don't know if I should say, I don't know, maybe they should. I mean, it's, you know, that's what you would expect from a politician because their goal is to get elected.
Right.
So we've got to see through that. You've got to see that. You know,
so if the church plays into that,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden we attach our vision of a godly culture mm-hmm. to a political party.
Right.
And we can easily fall into the trap of having this moral vision that we say is based on Christian faith, but really it's about gaining an upper hand and right. having our own power.
To the end of?
Creating a whatever it is we think that our vision is of society.
Right. Yeah, the way this country should be, or you know,
yeah.
that kind of
and,
thing.
And I don't know that we can trust ourselves that much to think that. Are, you know, are we really about the Great Commission, which is the about the kingdom of God,
and, mm-hmm.
or are we about keeping the power to ourselves and gaining an upper hand about our particular vision of life?
Right.
Now that's subtle. That's
it
so
is. It is because
tricky
because it seems like that's something that we would be called to do as Christians, yeah. and some people are.
Yes,
to work in those fields and to be salt and light in those fields, absolutely.
But, right, but it's different when you say I am here to serve Christ for the common good versus I am here under an umbrella
right.
of a particular religious movement or political movement to gain power
right
over people.
Yep, yep.
It is tricky. I'm probably not going to be able to tease it all out here because I don't know that I can. But I do think we need to watch. We need to watch and remember that as the church, we're not called to be a political movement first.
Yeah,
we're called to be a gospel preaching.
And wasn't that
movement first?
What some of his disciples did. You know, the Jews of the day, they were looking for somebody to be a political leader.
Yeah.
And they wanted to use Christ as their way of getting out of the oppression that they were experiencing. So
yes.
All right. So, what, you know, moving in a different direction than politically, what about, we talked earlier as we were discussing this, what about celebrities or, mm-hmm. you know, personas, people that we prop up as, hey, he's a believer. And
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
We should rejoice any time anyone repents and believes on the Lord Jesus mm-hmm. Christ and is saved.
Mm-hmm.
We should be very careful about promoting high-profile personalities as if somehow their repentance and faith is more important
right.
or even more noteworthy
mm-hmm.
than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And what we can subtly do is say to people, if you will follow Jesus, you will be like this famous person.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, you're back to, I follow Jesus for the power.
Right.
For the success.
Mm-hmm.
For the upper hand, for the superiority, for the better life.
Mm-hmm.
You follow Jesus because you're a sinner, and he provided the way of salvation. And you repent and you believe so that you can be reconciled to God and that you can be brought into the family of God and live while we wait his return. That's why we follow Jesus.
Right, right.
So it's. So these are so, there is subtlety to all of this.
There
I know
is.
There's nuance. There's nothing wrong with hearing about someone's conversion who might be a popular person.
Right.
But we have to always guard our heart
mm-hmm.
against believing that somehow we follow Jesus for personal power or mm-hmm. cultural power or political power. We follow Jesus to know Jesus, to know God, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. come to the Father through Jesus the Son.
All right. Now, what about knowledge?
Yeah.
You know, we discussed earlier some different movements in the church.
Yeah.
About how to do this or how to do that. Or
yeah. Again, it's subtle. There yeah. are a lot of very helpful mm-hmm. Movements. There are helpful theologies, helpful methodologies, helpful mm-hmm. what we call models of sanctification, which is a big way of saying models that help people understand how it is they grow in Christ and mm-hmm. become spiritually mature. That's what the word sanctification means in that context. So there are a lot of very helpful things out there.
Right.
However, because of our tendencies, mm-hmm. we tend to elevate certain things as if someone has discovered a higher knowledge
right.
that the rest of Christianity doesn't have,
right.
or they've discovered something new for the first time, mm-hmm. when really the Bible's revealed it all along,
mm-hmm.
and Christians have known it and walked in it all along. Mm-hmm. So we have these subtle ways of kind of, and I've seen it in my lifetime as a Christian now for 3.5 decades, mm-hmm. about 35 or so years. I've kind of lost count, but anyway, a long time. Mm-hmm. And I've seen come and go these knowledge movements
yeah.
that really take the focus off of the cross of Christ and say, we know God through repentance and faith in the cross of Jesus Christ, his atoning death for us, his substitutionary death for us,
right.
to say, well, that's good, but we can know God really through these other more mystical, mysterious, or more disciplined, or whatever ways
sure.
that really center more on the human being than they do on the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right, right. So it just takes the focus
off the
ever
cross.
So slightly off of center.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and we have yeah. to be, because in that way we are acting
mm-hmm.
More like the culture and less like Christ.
Right.
And then inevitably we begin to group up around
yeah.
our certain person.
Sure.
So an example, I don't know if I should go here or not, but I will. How much time do I have? Do I got a minute to go here?
I think so.
Okay. So an example is a particular popular pastor in church will spring up. And mm-hmm. there'll be a lot of energy and a lot of excitement mm-hmm. around that. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, that movement begins to take its own language. And people begin to speak about the mover of the movement,
right.
the human agent, mm-hmm. in terms that express loyalty, or that somehow this person has come upon the right way of doing church or whatever. And so you've got this. Then you got this group mentality mm-hmm. around the guru,
mm-hmm.
and then human pride, being what it is, just gets deeper and deeper embedded
sure.
into that.
Yep.
And it's just not. You know, it's exactly what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians, and it's all stemming from a desire to have power and to have knowledge in and of ourselves that puts us in a superior light to other people.
Okay, so how do we check our hearts here?
Jesus, cross, death, resurrection, over and over and over and over. It's all about the cross of Christ, and we have to constantly ask ourselves, you know, what gives us more hope? What gives us more motivation?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, where are we really putting our faith?
Yeah,
and it has to be in Christ and in Christ alone.
Yeah.
And then I think we also check our heart, because we know we always have these tendencies to go places other than the cross of Christ,
yep.
and just be suspicious of ourselves,
hmm.
and suspicious of other people.
Hmm.
You know, J.I. Packer talks about this in Knowing God. He says, you know, we have to have a healthy suspicion of personalities that are magnetic.
Hmm.
When mm-hmm. we're trying to discern God's leadership in our lives, because we yeah. get too swayed by them.
Sure.
It's another way yeah. of doing it. So yeah. we have to constantly be aware of the tendencies of our hearts, coming back to the Word of God, the Scripture, the written Bible, mm-hmm. reading it, meditating upon
mm-hmm.
it,
mm-hmm.
finding the truth there, Christ, mm-hmm. the cross, the atonement, the resurrection, new life, the power of the Spirit. These are the themes that we have to keep working into our souls. They're the old themes, the reliable themes, because they're the biblical themes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we press them into new areas of our lives as we change.
Yeah. So we got to hear points one and two last Sunday. Do we get to hear point three?
So this is what I call, Jeff, a rookie preacher mistake. I haven't done it in a while, but I did this Sunday, and that is more sermon than I had time.
Uh-huh.
I have been accused by a good friend of mine of dumping the whole truckload. And this Sunday I had like a truck and maybe a quarter. Or
gotcha.
A half.
Okay.
And so I literally could not do justice. So yes, I think I'm going to just come back and preach a sermon out of a portion of last week's text. And
okay.
It's okay. It'll just add another week to 1 Corinthians. It's okay. We're
as
not going
if
anywhere.
We're counting, right?
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, Scott.
I want to say thank you to Grace Community Church for their patience with me. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Thank you.